Chapter 7. Meds are not automatic. First off, I am a psychologist, not a psychiatrist, so I legally cannot make recommendations regarding medication. I can only tell you what I've seen and my opinion as a non-MD. The first suggestion most other clinicians, both psychologists and psychiatrists, are going to make to you if your kid is cutting is meds. Psychotropic medication is an option for depression and anxiety, and that may be what your kid ends up needing, and it may help your kid. The danger, in my opinion, is the trend to overpathologize teens and young adults, particularly if they're female, or a person of color, or trans. To over-medicalize cutting and other self-harm behaviors, and to over-medicate the people that engage in cutting. Don't get me wrong. Meds do help many people, and many people would suffer greatly without them. I take issue with the amount of meds freely given to people whose brains and bodies are still growing. The truth is, we really don't know what that does to a person's brain. The brain is still largely unknown. And the vast majority of psychiatrists grossly underplay what a crapshoot meds are. I also don't think meds cure every or even many psychological issues that teens are grappling with. I had a teen come in on 8 different psych meds. 8. And she was still really off the rails behaviorally, and she was cutting. The psychiatrist just kept adding another medication every time she'd act out. Now, tell me, what medication do you think is best for walking in and seeing your mother mid-suicide attempt? A benzo for anxiety? An antidepressant? Something for sleep? To be fair, the therapist she was seeing told her to do therapeutic hand gestures, which is worse than a meds crapshoot, in my opinion. Psychiatrists just keep adding medications, and most are very reluctant to take someone off because of liability issues. Bluntly, if they titrate down the meds and the kid suicides, the psychiatrists fear litigation. I wish there was something they feared enough to be that cautious before putting the kids on meds. So just consider that part before automatically medicating your kids. I've worked with a couple psychiatrists that will work with the kids I see, and they've safely gotten them off all their meds, even when they started on anything from 3 to 8 different daily ones. Very few MDs will do that. And even fewer tell parents no when they bring their kids in for the first appointment and are pissed they paid for it and left empty-handed. I, clinically and personally, don't think such things ought to be evaluated like a business transaction. It's a kid's brain we're talking about, for fuck's sake. You can draw your own conclusions, but having the facts makes for an educated decision, and you do have alternatives to meds. In my work with teens and young adults, the vast majority who came in miserable, cutting, and on meds stopped cutting within a couple of months, not years, got off most or all of their meds, and are now doing the work confidently and joyfully with me or on their own. Okay, so when you discover your kid is cutting themselves, here is a pretty straightforward protocol of questions you need to ask and get answers for. Hospitalization. Does your kid need to go to the hospital for cutting? Here are the questions. Well, do they need stitches? Did they cut themselves, pass out, and hit their head? Are they telling you they want to die? My answer. If you are unsure about any of these questions, it's probably a good idea to get your kid assessed by admit at the ER. If all are no's, you probably don't have to go. But if you're still unsure, you absolutely can. The potential downside. The downside is that it's on your kid's permanent medical record, and if they admit your kid, it may be involuntary. Obviously, if any of the above questions are a yes, you got to go to the emergency room anyway, and it's worth it. It's if they are no's that you may be on the fence. Another potential downside is that your kid will most likely come out of the hospital on meds, possibly over-medicated. Potential upside. If your kid is suicidal, they will be safe from hurting themselves in the hospital. If they really need to be there, it's containing, and they go to programs, maybe even some version of DBT, and they might be offered a place in a partial hospitalization program, PHP, or other outpatient services. If they don't need to be there, the hospital can be a pretty scary and awful experience, and if they think they will be sent there every time they cut themselves, they may stop cutting themselves. Strategic consequences do often work. Wilderness training programs. Does your kid need to be sent to a wilderness program? For example, picked up from your house and taken to a therapeutic program that's like inpatient in that they cannot leave, but in nature. They are usually at least several months long. Questions. Are things getting out of hand at home? Is your kid who's cutting themselves disrupting the entire family unit? Is the cutting behavior chronic? Is your kid also running away? Has your kid become unruly and no longer regards you with respect or authority? My answer. Well, you get that if these are all yeses, it's probably time. If you keep them at home, it means most of your answers are no's and your kid has professional help and they are progressing. Potential downside. You must research. Google it. Ask a professional or hire a consultant. It's my general understanding that wilderness programs have largely cleaned up their acts and that those with reports of abuse have been shut down. These programs are very expensive, and often the step down is therapeutic boarding school, which is also very expensive. Also, if your kid has to be taken at night because of flight risk, they may have problems sleeping in the future. Potential upside. The only wilderness program I can professionally vouch for is Open Sky in Durango, Colorado. I have been on site in the woods observing programmatic activities and spent time with administration. They use DBT, which I obviously think is effective, and observed a level of understanding of this practice that I have only ever seen in my office and from Dr. Lenahan herself. They are one of few programs which require parent participation, which I think is bold and necessary. Should your kid see a general practitioner, GP, or naturopath? Questions. Is something physiologically going on that's causing the cutting? My answer. From what I've seen, not often. But I do have a colleague who says her depression went away when she removed gluten from her diet, so let's just make sure. Potential downside. The MD makes some dismissive comment about cutting that reveals a lack of understanding or caring or even really listening to, looking at, or believing your kid and wants to put them on meds without a talk therapy referral. My pet peeve. Potential upside. Get the data. Insist the MD, PA, NP, or naturopath order a full blood work, a urine and stool test, and test for food allergies. You're here for rule-outs. For psychotropic medication, get assessed by a specialist, a psychiatrist. Mental health. Does my kid need psychotherapy / talk therapy or meds? Questions. Are they cutting themselves but somewhat still functional or not? My answer. I absolutely do not agree with putting a teen or young adult on brain chemical altering drugs without talk therapy. Period. A decent psychiatrist will agree with me on that too. Meds are for helping a person level out to a point where talk therapy has a chance to be effective. Please do not try to use a psychiatrist for anything but medication management. They think they can do talk therapy. They can't. MDs do not listen. Active empathic listening is integral to talk therapy's efficacy. And if your kid is cutting, they do need to talk to a professional who understands the complicated psychology around self-harm behaviors. More in Chapter 9. Potential downside. You get a useless narcissist who doesn't help and costs you a shitload of money. Your kid may get misdiagnosed with the latest trendy diagnosis and possibly get sent for unnecessary meds, get worse, and now doesn't trust talk therapy. Potential upside. You find the right fit for your kid for talk therapy and don't need to put them on meds. And not only do they stop cutting themselves, they learn tools for coping that increase instead of decrease their sense of confidence and self-esteem. And they grow into a healthy adult that loves and respects themselves. Not hyperbole. I've seen evidence many times. It's tough to navigate the field of mental health, doctors, programs, and pills. Not to mention the broken system of insurance, which is even worse regarding mental health. The good news is when you find a talk therapy professional that's a match for your kid, you can see progress sooner than you might have guessed. I'll maximize your chances of that very thing in Chapter 9. But if the professional and your kid are doing productive work, that means it's going to get bumpy. That's what we'll address next in Chapter 8.